round midnight. Memories always start round midnight, round midnight. Haven't got the heart to stand those memories when my heart is still with you. An old midnight knows it too. When some quarrel we had needs mending, does it mean that our love is ending? Darling, I need you. Lately I find your take wing some midnight, round midnight. Let the angels sing for your returning.
This is my bed. Treasure chest of Big Band
Let
Music.
Our love
Same
be safe and
sound. For my little stand with you from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock
when
p.m.
Old midnight,
I want you to stay tuned for Jay and the New Journal. And again, thanks to Mike at Sam's Club for the lovely the donuts. And we'll go real good with my coffee. And thank you for the encouragement for having me come out today in this weather still. So to Mike at the Sam's Club, thank you very much. And it's nice to know that someone is listening. Stay tuned for Jay following the song.
Take wing some midnight, round midnight. Let the angels sing for your returning. Let our love be safe and sound when old midnight.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Coming up next is the great Public Affairs Show. The only one for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Jay Koronek going to be with you for the next hour. Stay tuned for local news and views. This is the new WHFR Journal, local news and views from your friendly, very local radio station, WHFR, WHFR.FM, WHFR at Henry Ford Community College. We're making waves with the kind of news and information as well as music like the great big band show that LaBeth just completed that you can't find anywhere else on your dial. Or on the internet. Again, if you want to listen to our show anywhere in the world, all of our shows, go to WHFR.FM and click on Listen Now. The WHFR Journal Show, in fact, has its own podcast, too. So maybe you're not available. Maybe even right now you're listening to the MP3 that's saved on our website. It goes back about 12 weeks of shows. Just search by date. And, here we are. Isn't technology amazing? As I said, my name is Jay Koronek, and I'm the station advisor here at WHFR-FM as well as host of the show. So I should know what I'm talking about. Not necessarily, though. Remember, all the opinions expressed on this show are those of mine only, not necessarily anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College. Although I hope so. It's tough being lonely. Well, looking at the news of the day, first of all, I have to talk about, of course, the weather and the snow emergency that is in progress here in the city of Dearborn. You know, this is costing us, not the weather, but this fear-mongering of the radio and television stations about winter storm warning. We had an inch or two. Come on, folks. What are we, some sheep or something that we can't handle 2 inches of snow? I mean, haven't we lived, most of us, in Michigan all of our life? Don't we know what snow is? Don't we know to drive a little more slowly, allow a little extra time? Don't try to accelerate too fast? Don't we know that? Of course we do. What is this? Do you know how much it costs for the city to plow 1 inch of snow in the whole city of Dearborn? Now, it's a wonderful city service. Oh, thank you very much. Right. They plowed the 1 or 2 inches of snow, and I got 4 inches of snow in front of my driveway now. Thank you very much. That's really great. I just wonder how many people in Dearborn are stuck in their driveways because the city shoveled the snow from the street to the end of their drive. You know, absolutely one of those unnecessary city expenses. Now, for those of you that watch TV and TV news a lot, and you're running scared all the time from all the crime and all the weather and all the possible terrorist attacks, you know, I say this, where is it? Where is all this horror? Where is all these terrible moments? It's not out there, folks. I mean, I hate to be such a rebel in terms of radio news and information, but it's not out there. This is being exaggerated so that they get you to watch TV more, which means watch the commercials, which means their ratings go up, which means they can make more profit on your fear. But it's not fear that is appropriately, that should be appropriately felt. There should be no fear. It's an inch or two of snow, for Pete's sake. We used to not have a snow emergency 3-4 years ago until it was like 6 or 8 inches. Really? Now it's 1 or 2 inches? And they announce everything's going to close down at 5 p.m. yesterday afternoon? what, you know, how much did this cost the city of Dearborn? It is money that should not have been spent. There is no terrible crisis. There is no fear and trembling. Now, for those of you that are listening from home today, maybe for the first time to the show, hey, we got a holiday. Well, you have a holiday. I'm here at the closed Henry Ford Community College campus, but all of our volunteers and myself, we're coming in to try to tell you the truth. I sound like Glenn Beck or somebody, you know? It's interesting to me. I do enjoy watching, for its satire, A Daily Show, which is a program starring Jon Stewart. It's on Comedy Central cable television network. And it's every night new, Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. But if you want to see it one day delayed, it's at 8 p.m., 8 to 8:30. And Jon Stewart, in his satire, one of the things that he's constantly doing is trying to point out how the major cable TV news networks, and we're talking about MSNBC, and we're talking about Fox, and CNN, they exaggerate everything. Talk about making mountains out of molehills. You know, they exaggerate, well, for example, how nasty was President Clinton last week? Wasn't nasty at all about anything. How mad was he? Wasn't mad at all about anything. He had some pointed comments, but if what, you know, if you actually look at it and think about it, you know, what about this Barack and Hillary feud? You know, well, he didn't shake her hand. He turned his head for a fraction of a second at one time over a whole bunch of days because somebody called out to him. And that's shown in the videotape, folks. Somebody called out to him from behind him, distracted him, and they were really close, and Hillary was 2-3 people away. It would have been a heck of a stretch. That was at the State of the Union address. Mountains out of molehills. You like to climb mountains? You like to fall off mountains a lot? Watch and listen, like God's truth, to all the commercial news media. They are hyping it. They are selling it. They are making something of nothing. In fact, interesting event. Before Ted Turner started the 24-hour news network, CNN, at the end of the 80s, I think in 1990, people said, how are you going to program 24 hours a day of news? National, international, state, and local. There's not enough news. How are you going to do that? Well, that's a simple fact. There's not enough stories that are important to us, that are true crises, to actually fill up news channels. And now they're all competing with each other for little news stories. Okay, it's terrible that a cute little white-skinned girl might have been kidnapped or be missing for a minute. But Nancy Grace, whatever news channel she's on, the lawyer that she is, she takes it outrageously for 3 hours, like it's the worst crisis in the world. Now, it's wonderful if you find that entertaining or you've got nothing better to do with your life other than to wring your hands about a child who's missing. And it's a tragedy if any child ever is missing from their parents, of course, especially if they're hurt or injured and may not be returning to their parents. But that happens. The missing kids happen all the time, okay? It's not a big deal. It's not something we should be primarily concerned about in terms of even our local community or our city or our state or the international situation. And then, of course, I did watch debates on and off just to see what people say. I won't talk about the State of the Union address because that was a joke. I'm not sure what world our president is in, but my opinion is it's not the same one that even the Republican nominees running for president are in. So there's a little question there about what reality he's connected to. And, of course, surveys say majority of people in the United States, over 65%, say he's not connected to their reality either. So nothing more to say about that. But what about the Republican so-called debate 2 days ago? That was McCain, Romney, in no particular order here, Ron Paul, and Mike Huckabee. Huckabee had to jump in and say, well, after the first hour, there's two others of us here. Would you give us a chance to answer some questions? Would you ask us some questions? And he was totally right. You think these debates, aren't they supposed to be fair, folks, in terms of equal time or something? I mean, wouldn't that be the expectation? I know there's no FCC rule about equal time, but wouldn't that be your expectation as a viewer? Or do you truly believe that Mike Huckabee and Ron Paul have nothing to say? It so happens, it's my opinion, and John Stewart's, the liberal John Stewart, that Ron Paul was speaking nothing but the hard truth, the factual truth that people that have done their research know about Iraq, about our monetary system, for more than, almost now, more than 8 years. And, you know, the CNN hosts, I think it was CNN folks, Anderson Cooper, they didn't follow up. Even McCain and Romney are just smiling. Romney, McCain, he grabbed his water bottle during Ron Paul's, as if this is so unimportant. And yet, Paul was the only one speaking the truth about Iraq and about our foreign involvements and about our economic situation. And if you don't think what he was speaking was the truth, you got to do your research, folks. And Huckabee, who I think is a great communicator, because I saw him here in person right here in Dearborn, why wasn't he given equal time? Because he didn't do as well in terms of votes in the last primary vote in some little state, South Carolina. Romney has spent $35 million of his own money getting people's attention. And that's totally fine. He's got a right to do that. It is America. But isn't that why he got more votes? Of course it is. The more TV spots, in general, you get out there, the more votes you get. People are sheep. Right. They think the more they see your announcement, the more important you are, or the better your ideas are. Terrible. Irrational conclusion. But political science say, that's just the way it is. Just like, why would you vote for somebody because they attacked somebody else? It works. Attack ads where you say bad things about the other candidates. That builds up your credibility, even though you would think, you would imagine, if you were rational and logical, you would vote for someone because of how good they were, not how bad they're running down the other people. Wouldn't you? Can we be logical about this? Is it so much to ask that we get the right, the good person, the best person for the job, and maybe someone who's not so negative about other people? Whatever happened to the idea of, I think historical Jesus suggested, turn the other cheek. Do unto others as they would do unto you. Can't we understand our enemies? And then talk to them and work with them? If we have to isolate ourselves from them or isolate them from us, that's, and all else fails, fine, but we don't have to kill them. And we are able to stop them from killing us without killing them first. We are able to do that if we're smart. If we're quick, and if we really are Christian, I'm sorry, bringing up religion. I'm bringing it up from a philosophical point of view, folks. Okay, the philosophy as expressed by the historical Jesus in the documents we have, which may or may not be accurate, but of the documents we have, some of it the so-called Holy Bible, there is a philosophy, a social policy, a philosophy, a theory, if you will, of social activism that the historical Jesus, and I keep having to say it that way because people think I'm talking about it in a religious context. No, I'm just talking about what we know from the documents we have. And very interesting social theory. Influenced Martin Luther King Jr. It influenced Mahatma Gandhi. It influenced Leo Tolstoy in his writings and Henry David Thoreau, all important pacifists and some of the greatest people that ever lived, because they're coming up with an idea about how we can truly be civilized by loving one another and not forcing people to love us by threatening to kill them first. Amazing stuff, isn't it? So do not trust. Summarizing here, do not trust the commercial news media when they tell you oh, it's going to be a terrible storm, or, oh, the terrorists are going to kill us all, or, you know, it's interesting that that line didn't work for Rudy Giuliani, did it? He was campaigning on the fact that if you don't vote for him, the terrorists are going to get us. Didn't work, did it? Of course, he didn't have much money. If he would have had more money for more ads, like Mitt Romney's $35 million, well, he probably would have done a lot better. Now, John McCain, you say, he hasn't put out much money, and he did win a couple of votes against Romney, although Romney beat him here in Michigan. Well, his name has been around a while, hasn't he? Yeah. Maybe not for the last 4 years, but before that, he did win in Michigan. He is an interesting cross of some liberal principles and also some conservative ones. I'm not saying he's a great middle candidate. First of all, I would never tell you, and you should never listen to anybody on television or radio about who to vote for. And I don't think he really is a middle ground candidate, philosophically speaking, that everybody should vote for. But all of the New York Times, and I guess this was used against him by Mitt Romney in the last debate. New York Times endorsed him. If you were a Republican, they felt that McCain was the best choice as the person to run for president in the Republican Party. Interesting argument they have there, too. Go to nytimes.com and check it out for yourself. Now, they didn't say that he should be president, because on the Democratic side, the New York Times favored Hillary Clinton and felt that she was the best choice for president, but nonetheless, and of course, the best choice for a Democratic nomination for president. So there you go. So, but I can't believe the snow emerged. I can't believe all my tax dollars that went into clearing the streets of 1.5 inches of snow. I can't believe that. And all the city officials that felt that they, you know, were doing something good for Dearborn, I don't think so. Okay. I don't like waste, and that was waste. Will it get them reelected? Oh, yeah, probably. Oh, they clear the streets when there's the slightest snowfall. I'm happy to pay my taxes in Dearborn. Well, God bless you if that's the case. And if really 1 inch of snow makes it impossible for you to even go out of your house, then I guess you need that kind of city service. I don't understand it. And especially if all the news media, whether it's terrorism or snow, are making you feel afraid and scared and nervous and stressed out, I feel sorry for you. Turn off the TV news. Turn off the radio news, unless it's from an independent source. Yeah. National Public Radio, WHFR.FM, making waves. Other than that, well, there's your local papers. Let's take a look at the local papers, and they only come out twice a week, but boy, do they tell it like it is. It's the next best thing to being there on the streets yourself. See, and Taylor there, this is from the Sunday Times, Sunday Times Herald, really, from last Sunday, January 27th. Taylor is enacting a ban on toy guns. Yep, they are. Uh-huh. And that's really exciting, of course. Seems they had an incident. And again, this is your government coming up with a law and a rule forever that guns that look too much like firearms but are toys, realistic imitations, there was an incident at Southland Mall. And so the mayor, Cameron Priebe, jumped right in, and he's asking city attorneys to draft an emergency basis language that would ban these realistic imitations of firearms. Well, it's true that even the police will tell you if you have a toy gun, hopefully it has one of those orange bits of plastic at the tip of the barrel. It doesn't fire bullets, it doesn't fire BBs or pellets or anything, okay? But whether it's a water pistol or just a replica, non-firing of anything, it should have that orange dot on the end, bright neon orange. And I thought that was like kind of enforced everywhere. I thought it was a national thing, in fact. Still, in the dark, although not certainly Southland Mall, but in the dark, a handgun, a rifle, looks like a handgun or a rifle. And police might shoot if the person holding, in this case, the toy, didn't drop it immediately and put their hands up, if they decide to continue pointing it at them or all of a sudden point it at the police, probably get shot. But you can understand that the police can't take a chance like that. I mean, they can't just let them shoot if it is a real gun. So if they warn them to drop it and so on, then they should. But believe me here, folks, and I hate to sound too libertarian about this, but our freedoms are being hurt here by people who feel like they're running scared that the world is against them. And therefore, our politicians who want to get reelected are jumping in and deciding to get some, I don't know, some credibility for the first time, some authority, some distance out of the good PR of doing something for the community. So many stupid little laws that we don't need. So many restrictions on our personal freedoms. It's embarrassing. But let's see if we can find out more about the incident at Southland Mall. So we got to turn to page 2A. Okay. Taylor Police and Southland Security came out in force to deal with a situation that looked serious at first, but turned out to be nothing more than toy guns. Okay? Now, they don't give you any details there. So, you know, here it is, at the very, very end of the story. See, that's one thing we do here at WHFR-FM. We read to the end of the story, because the headlines can also be scary, and even make you believe something that's not really true, because you don't know all the details. I'm not saying that every story gives you all the details, but some of them do. Here it is. Several teenagers have been playing cops and robbers with the guns. These are ones that were shown to the console, these airsoft toy guns. They do have red tips, but they look like a small Uzi, an automatic pistol. Okay. So they're playing cops and robbers in Southland Mall. Okay. And that's it. All right. So that's all they tell us. I don't know how you play cops and robbers inside Southland Mall. And get this. When they got the call at Southland Mall, somebody called the police. 9 police cars were sent in because the teens were believed to be using real guns. Well, believed to be using, did they hear gunshots? No. Of course not. They didn't hear gunshots. And Southland Mall security people actually rolled one of their security vehicles. What does that mean, rolled? Does that mean they started up the engine? Does that mean they got so nervous about it while they're driving around the parking lot that they tipped it over out of their own personal fear? Oh, my God, they got a gun. Rolled one of their own vehicles. Don't they have an officer that would walk to that part of Southland Mall? Was it inside? Was it outside? What was going on there? What kind of security people are at Southland Mall? I know they don't have guns of their own, probably. Maybe they do. Aren't they trained to investigate? Well, I just call the Taylor police in. They send in 9 squad. There's a gang of kids here firing automatic weapons. I mean, what did they tell them? I don't understand. Well, you know, to err on the side of caution is okay. Yeah, as long as you don't shoot the kids in the process. Now, the kids should have been, they weren't smart, obviously. They were stupid. But because, or it's, you can't just say ignorant, can you? Because ignorant, we had a discussion on the station yesterday. Can you call people stupid over the air? Well, that's an opinion of mine, of course. Ignorant means you don't know what the laws are. But stupid seems pretty obvious in this case. You don't go into a public location and start, even with a replica, acting like you got a gun. Because no good is going to come of that. Okay? Of course the cops will be called. And they might even shoot you where you stand. Is that what they wanted? Is that what the kids wanted? They want to be shot by the police? They'd be famous on TV, on Nancy Grace or something? See how this all ties together a little bit, folks? Okay. So, am I against that law? Well, I don't. Don't they already have a law like that in Dearborn? I think we do. Okay. Your guns have to have the tip on the end. But it is true that you can use a black permanent ink marker and cover over, in other words, paint over the orange tip so it looks more real. Well, of course you can. Anybody could do that. Of course they are risking getting shot to death themselves as soon as they expose that in public. So I, a bunch of stupid people there. I'm not against the idea of making sure that all replicas have that orange tip and must have the orange tip in the end. That's okay. Still, I think about this. What if somebody that had a real gun decided to paint the tip of their gun neon orange so people would think it was a toy? You know, what are we going to do, ban all guns everywhere? We do have legally concealed carry in Michigan. Of course, does that mean you can never draw your gun? You have to keep it concealed? Yeah, it kind of means that, unless you really need to use it and you have the license. Again, you need a license, folks. You need a concealed carry license. It is legal in Michigan. Thank you, Gary Warrenchuk and others who passed that law. It is definitely proven in all states everywhere where you have concealed carry, crime rate goes down. Also, and I like this, although I think they should do it for anyone that licenses a gun, you have to take a training course. Imagine actually knowing how to fire the gun accurately so you don't kill the wrong person if you have to shoot, so that you know actually where the safety is to put it on and to take it off, so that you actually know what the laws are about using the gun. If they require a training class to get your driver's license in Michigan, which they do, if you need to take a training class before you can become a volunteer DJ here at WHFR, which we do, then you would think that before you're allowed to have a very, very, very dangerous weapon, like a handgun or a rifle, that you would be required to pass a training course on how to handle it and what the laws are. And if you couldn't fire it properly or accurately, and you couldn't take a test proving you knew what the laws actually were in regard to that in your state, you shouldn't get the license. You shouldn't be allowed to buy the gun. So I don't quite understand why Michigan hasn't, you know, come up with that. It's true. The licensing thing, there's a law you might say is unnecessary too. Because all the bad people, all the crooks, the criminals, the Al-Qaedas, they're not going to go get a license because then the police, the government, knows who's got the guns. So, the crooks will get guns one way or the other, or bombs or whatever, and licensing is not going to stop them. But if you want to legally have it, I think you have to, whether we require a license or not, you've got to pass the course. See what I'm saying? So that we know you're basically trained on either how to drive a car or be a DJ at WHFR or handle a gun. Well, maybe we'll get some logic about this, but always consider every new law that seems to be, ooh, your government is doing something nice for you. Do we really need it? Is it really going to help? Again, what if some bank robbers or Al-Qaeda, they paint the tips of their real guns neon orange? Then nobody's going to get upset when they see them pull them out until they start firing them. See how crazy a lot of our laws are? They don't do what you think they're going to do. There's always a way around them. But they talk about police resources, the 9 cars, all the time, all the money, all the gas for the cars that Taylor had to do when they were sending them out to Southland Mall. You see the problems that we run into there? Moving on here, new WHFR Journal, new from last week, and this today is February. Oh, yeah, February 1st, a new month, a new chance to get it right. Debates have gotten interesting, according to Frank Bewick, and I just wanted to read part of his 30-plus-1 column from last Sunday Times. He says, looking at the Democratic debate from last week, he says, I felt most sorry for John Edwards, who was literally moved out of the picture, sort of like Huckabee was in the last Republican debate. Why? Because he didn't have a valid point of view? No. Because he was a totally qualified candidate for the nomination? No. just because they thought there'd be more ratings to get Barack and Hillary together and let them battle or say something cute. Okay? Okay, he hasn't got as many votes. Does that mean that everybody's heard him equally at the outset? No. Does that mean he's got a chance to get his message out if you cut him off, if you restrict him, just like Huckabee was and Ron Paul? No. It's just not fair. Somebody should email all these networks and keep at it. This is not fair, not going to take it anymore, that we're giving these candidates in a very, very slanted negative way. Well, we only want you to know the important people, the unimportant ones, we're not going to cover. Who's to say it was important or unimportant? With politics, you let everybody speak equally. Let them collect what delegates they can as long as their money holds out, which is, I think, against the law, where money is the only criteria. Only the rich people can get the TV ads. Only the rich people can campaign in all 50 states. Don't you think there's something wrong with that? So, Frank Buick felt sorry for Edwards. When he did speak, he spoke only of his plans and not the other guy's shortcomings. He wasn't negative. Huckabee wasn't negative. Ron Paul wasn't negative. Even though that's what you're told by your big-time sleazy consultants, political consultants, if you want to get some of the attention back on you, you got to go dirty. He refused to do that. So did Huckabee, and so did Ron Paul. Good for them. But, just like Giuliani, Edwards dropped out. Of course, his wife does have terminal cancer. And maybe he wanted to spend more time with her. And he has changed what Barack and Hillary are saying now about health care. Gee, when they started this a year ago, these debates, they hemmed and hawed, well, we got to improve our health care system. Now they're for national health care now, not single-payer national health care, which is really what we should have and would simplify everything. Oh, this hodgepodge of stuff and Barack and Hillary are just slight, but they're both totally for universal health care. And I don't think they would have been. Of course, they noticed the Republicans are not for that. But I don't think they would have been if it wasn't that John Edwards was hitting that so hard constantly, constantly, constantly. And so I think he's made a difference. Sorry to see him not running at this point. So we're going to continue on here. In spite of all that, for example, a new WHFR Journal next week, February 8th show, we are scheduled to have one of the people that's still running for nomination within his party for President of the United States. His name? Daniel Imparato. What? Who's that? I never heard about him before. Okay. He's one of the several people that are trying to get the nomination to run for president from the Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. You know, Ron Paul ran for president as a libertarian in 1992, and basically what he's been talking about is all libertarian economic policy and foreign policy, even though he's technically a Republican right now. So we'd like to give you some attention for that. I've also downloaded, but I'm sorry, it just didn't work. I have downloaded a file of the Green Party debate. The Green Party, United States of America, had a debate among four or five candidates in San Francisco about a week or two ago, and the audio file is big. It's 3 hours long. They gave everybody a chance, and it's going to be one of several. Okay? So before they get someone on the ballot. But so my question is, where's CNN, Fox News, and all the other networks? Why aren't they covering these debates within those parties? Well, they're just little parties. Nobody cares. Nobody will care about them. Nobody will. They won't become big parties unless somebody finds out who they are and what they believe. They're going to be on the ballot in Michigan. You can. That's absolutely positively true that the Green Party and the Libertarian Party will have their candidate on the ballot here in Michigan this year in November. So why aren't we covering their debates? Huh? They're out of the mainstream. No, it's only because they're not on television. And who decides? Oh, the TV networks. And the Republican and Democratic parties. Yeah. I bet if CNN said, well, we're going to cover the Green Party nominees' debates and the Libertarian Party nominees' debates, I bet the Republicans and Democrats would shun CNN or whichever channel it was. They would say, no, no, you're going to cover those little guys. We're not going to allow you. We're not going to be there. We're not going to show up, even. And there goes your ratings. Ha, ha, ha. Would they do it that way? Sure, they do it that way all the time. Of course, it's power politics. Don't want to give anybody who has any ideas that might take away your votes the slightest chance or encouragement. It's Machiavellian. Yeah, Nicolai Machiavelli. Do anything that you need to do to win. Don't worry about ethics, morals, whatever. I'm overstating. I actually read Machiavelli's treatise called The Prince. Or is it a treatise? Anyway, but it's very pragmatic. Almost immoral and unethical, but it's very ethical to winning. And in politics, really losing doesn't matter. Winning is the only thing. It's too bad. And the Dems and Republicans don't want a fair playing field. So we're going to have Daniel Imparato via phone on the show and just listen. Would you like to hear a complete debate between the Libertarians besides Mr. Imparato? Sure, I bet you would. Want you to hear what Daniel Imparato has to say? We're not saying he's the best Libertarian for president, but you decide, okay, as they say. And then the file that didn't download is the Green Party debate. I was going to try to take some excerpts from it. Ralph Nader was there. He's an undeclared candidate. He did run as a Green Party nominee twice for president. Yeah, spoiler thing. I know, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. That's a bogus argument if I ever heard one. The Dems and Republicans use it all the time. He gave the election to George Bush in the year 2000. No, no, no. The Republican-nominated Supreme Court did that by not allowing the ballots to be fully recounted in Florida. Bush would have lost. Gore would have won. Not Nader. Gore would have won if they the Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices would have ruled differently on that. How can a justice of the Supreme Court say in a democracy that the ballots shouldn't be counted so that everybody's vote matters? Even if you got to do it three times. What kind of Supreme Court says, oh, for the good of the country, we can't get an accurate count? That would be bad. How do you remove a Supreme Court justice? You can't. Yeah, you can't. Oh, except Pat Robertson's way, and I won't go into that. So, hey, how you doing out there? The new WHFR Journal, Jay Koronek here with you for another 20 minutes, and then, Highway 61. Joanne Korchinska is plowing through the snow right now. That huge, huge one-inch snowfall, and we have someone waiting at the door because they closed the campus, and so they locked the outside door of our student center where WHFR is, so we got somebody waiting to help her through that door. Big storm that it is. Wow. Okay, let's take a look at what else is happening. Let's see the press and guide from last Sunday. Just spinning through here, folks. I do circle stuff. I do read these papers in advance. You may think I don't, but I do. Tom Watkins' guest editorial, Stigma and Depression Can Kill You. Really? I didn't know that. He didn't think of the title probably himself, so you can't blame him. Okay. Well, both papers, I think it was on Wednesday, put a Progress 2008 insert in the paper. And what that is a special insert that allows more ads to be sold for the papers. Yeah, it's just a marketing thing, folks. It doesn't really... But it gives them a chance, the city anyway, to put in a couple press releases about, great things that they've done for the last year for Dearborn. And, I read through the stabilizing neighborhood stuff, and I know that Mayor O'Reilly does have a stabilizing influence, really, on the community, and that's good. He's not a troublemaker. He's intelligent, and he likes to talk to people. He likes to work out solutions. That's my opinion of him, and I'm sticking to it. But, in fact, I don't see anything significant that anybody did here. I mean, stay the course, and I know they put all these enhancing online services. Well, shouldn't they do that anyway? Oh, geez. You know, so it's basically just a summary about public service days means cleaner neighborhoods. Ooh, 2 days every month they're going to do stuff, and you got to keep your cars and trash off the streets those 2 days. And I've even forgotten which days those are. And I know that is not a nice thing to do, but, you know, it doesn't even say the days here in this little summary. You're supposed to check the 2008 city calendar for details and schedules, which were sent for free to everybody at the end of last year. So if you didn't get your city calendar, you can't keep up on which days are them. That used to be. See, they thought of this one a couple years ago. Ooh, the day after trash pickup every week is their city service day. And then you got to get your cars off the street the day after the trash pickup day. Of course, you put it out the night before, so which day is the day after trash pickup day? I know, it's hard to keep these things in mind. It's so confusing. And, you know, you might as well not have your cars on the street at all, because you can't figure out when these days are and aren't, and they threaten to put tickets on them and so on. And what was really frustrating when they had it four times every, you know, once every week, is that most of the time residents saw that not a darn thing happened. You know, not enough to do. And so why do you have to move your cars when nothing's going to happen? And I think that begs the question here, too. If I stayed at home on these days, these couple days a month, and I'd look really closely, did anything actually happen? Why have the rules? Why have people inconvenienced that they can't park their cars in front of their own houses if nothing's happening most of the time? Again, another nice idea, but it's make work. It's people sitting around their offices. They got nothing better to do with their time, and they got to come up with rules and regulations to put people in line in the city. Otherwise, we won't be in line. Oh, it'll be very chaotic. People do whatever they want to do. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm exaggerating, of course. I just had a couple cups of coffee before I went on the air, so I apologize. But too many rules, too many laws, all very, you know, lacking in substance. And then, I think it's in the Times Herald Wednesday, and I need to conclude with this. 15 minutes, so I probably can conclude with it. The Wednesday paper is both the Press and Guide and the Times Herald. They show Mayor John B. O'Reilly walking, maybe for the last time, through the Jacob Montgomery Ward's building before they tear it down, and it looks like going to put up a medical center, or move a medical center in there from Schaefer, just move it on down. And Frank Bewick, he brings up a real comment here. These new plans, this is in his 30+1 column Wednesday, and I've been thinking it too, which still are not completed or at least not announced, may hold the promise of a revitalized area, East Dearborn. Specifically, of course, he's talking about the Montgomery Ward store site. He says, which will someday, soon, I hope, turn into something valuable and vital. There's plans for the Midwest Health Offices to relocate. But then, of course, there'll be a vacant spot on Schaefer. Well, that doesn't help Schaefer, does it? Just up the road from, you know, Michigan and Schaefer. Those plans also call for an Oakwood Hospital to open a facility there, perhaps right along with the Midwest clinics. He says, that might bring a lot of traffic, but not too many shoppers. He goes on to say, and listen closely, I don't know of anyone who will visit a clinic or hospital and then go shopping. Well, if you get a good health report, you know, you're not dying of cancer. Let's go shop. Okay. You know, but with that exception, he says, the two simply don't match. As you know, we already have enough vacant buildings in the area. We really don't need any more. To say that East Dearborn has gone downhill in the past 20 years or so would be an understatement. Yeah, I do mall walking at Fairlane Town Center. Get out of my way. Watch out. I go fast. And, you know, I'm just taking it for granted now. I was really bummed out that Fairlane is about 1/4 vacant. If I'm overstating that, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cause scare and panic. But 1/4 vacant. most of the stores that are big and even popular are gone. And I did tell people, somewhat jokingly, that the end of Fairlane is in stake. The Walt Disney Store is closed. That's right. As of today, the Walt Disney Store is closed. So that's got to be the end of the world, right? I'm just exaggerating. But another nail in the coffin. Now, you know, those theme stores, you know, like they used to have even Paramount and Warner Brothers theme stores at other shopping centers around the states, too. I think it kind of got old. Interesting little gimmick for a while. But unless it's right outside Disney World, the Disney store just can't keep, you know, pushing out those Tigger stuffed animals and Winnie the Pooh and all the other, you know, Mickey Mouse and all that. You can only have so much of that stuff, and then you got enough. And yet they still have a few very good stores. Godiva, okay, Godiva chocolates, and thank you, Mayor O'Reilly. That the Saxworth Avenue closed wing is being converted, I understand, last I heard, about 6 months ago, to classier, although franchise restaurants. Okay, so it won't just be the food court, fast food, but it'll be classier, nationally known restaurants. And one of my personal favorites, I have to say, P.F. Chang. Now, there's two other P.F. Chang Chinese Szechuan restaurants elsewhere in Detroit, but not near to Dearborn. So I'm going to go to P.F. Chang's the day they open. I'm going to have, too bad they don't serve breakfast, because it's one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world. Now, just, you know, there's other Szechuan restaurants that are great in the Detroit area. Unfortunately, they're in Windsor, and now you need a passport or a driver's license to go and come back. But I think most of us have driver's licenses in Michigan, at least. But they really want that passport, folks. I think you're going to need the passport, in fact, by next summer, just to go and have a great Chinese meal in Windsor. But P.F. Chang's, good substitute if you're forced to it. There's other great Chinese restaurants in Dearborn, but I like that really, really spicy stuff. And the other great Chinese restaurants I eat in Dearborn, I'll keep going there. Don't worry, folks, because we do have some great Chinese, but it's not spicy enough for me, okay? They say, oh, this is Szechuan, and I order it super hot. It's never hot, okay? It's never as spicy as true Szechuan cooking. And I learned Szechuan cooking from a Chinese chef who was from China. Okay, did we get that clear? Okay, so I know what is authentically Szechuan Chinese, and P.F. Chang's comes pretty close. So that's going to be fun. So I know Fairlane's trying to do stuff and keep improving, even though they're losing some of the nationally known, internationally known stores. But Frank Bewick's point is, we got vacant stores everywhere. I went past Fairlane Meadows. That's on Ford Road before you get to Greenfield on the south side. And I didn't realize about a third of their stores are closed and vacant. And the Coney Island has moved up into a building that's next to the printing place at the nearer Ford Road. Location is everything. And they're sharing this building with a Lebanese restaurant, which is fine. I mean, it's just so crazy. And the Fairlane Meadows is about one-fourth to one-third vacant. When did this happen? In the last year, I guess? Of course, we're waiting for the Kmart Power Center to be reopened as a Walmart. That's going to happen sometime this summer, so it won't be so bombed out, destroyed up there when Walmart opens. But again, the shopping center, go to Walmart, don't go anywhere else. Okay, it doesn't help East or West Dearborn. And he points out here to say that East Dearborn has gone downhill in the last 20 years or so would be an understatement. The one bright spot in East Dearborn is Warren Avenue. This was turned into, and this is a positive, not a negative thing, Little Arabia a number of years ago, and seems to be doing just fine, thank you. The area offers an assortment of stores and merchandise that's hard to believe. There are loads of pharmacies, fruit markets, bakeries, restaurant, and high-quality ones, too, by the way. And that list goes on and on, as Frank says. In fact, there's so many in each category, it's hard to imagine how they all stay in business. He says, we need, in my humble opinion, some good shoe stores, ladies' shops, menswear, a good furniture store, and a host of other shops to bring the shoppers back to East Dearborn. He says, West Dearborn is another story. I commented on this when it was first proposed that all retail outlets be encouraged to leave the area and turn the area from Brady to Military into one giant restaurant and bar. Well, that's just what happened, and it's not working, says Frank Bewick. I totally agree. Anybody in their right mind knows that. Oh, and the area is busy enough during the lunch hours and even during dinner hours, but what about the in-between times? Is it part of a city? Is it an organic whole? No. Is it somewhere you want to walk to and go to every day? No. He says, as it is, there was a gush of restaurants, so much so that several have already vacated. And he mentions the names. We don't have to. They're long gone. The area desperately needs shopping attraction. Needs menswear, womenswear, dime stores are what today they're called, dollar stores. Shoe stores, and the list can go on and on. I say a movie theater. Yes, a movie theater that has alternative type films. Michael Moore did that. The New State Theater in downtown Traverse City, revitalizing the whole city, the whole downtown area, because they got a small Fox Theater type theater that they renovated. Dearborn had that in West Dearborn. They let it burn. Now it's a Buddy's restaurant. We had the other theaters there. They weren't as classy. They didn't have a balcony. And we let that go. Okay. There's also the stupidity of the owner, and I won't mention who owns the land, what was formerly Tenney Street Roadhouse. That was a magnet. That was the best live music and, I think, and I'm sorry, Karen and Steakhouse, dining and drinking establishment in West Dearborn. Especially because of the live music and the entertainment they had. Karen says had never had anything that approached Tenney Street had. The only reason they're not there now is because the owner kept kicking up the rent. Oh, yeah, City of Dearborn found some crazy heating cooling regulation that they had to throw at them. And the owner said, well, it's not my responsibility. They signed this lease saying they would take care of those kinds of improvements. Bad lease. Charging more rent, looking for more rent than a similar venue in Greenwich Village, New York City would have to pay. And believe me, West Dearborn is no New York City. This man and certain people in the city administration have told me, I have to keep my sources anonymous here to protect their images, that this owner of this property is holding up development of West Dearborn by not allowing that kind of establishment to be there. It's still there. It's ready to be reopened with a little cleaning up and that. Somebody deserves to be there. For the good of the city should buy the property. Yes, and run a bar, a restaurant, and run a theater. The city should do that? Yeah, for the good of the people. Yes. They want a little help from WHFR. I'll pick the movies, okay, for the theater. And WHFR, we'll pick the artist. We know local artists that will play for little or nothing or who are international quality. Okay? And we're just volunteers, just like the city let friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter run the animal shelter. Those volunteers knew what they were doing. They lowered costs, and it's a great community resource. Taking care of our animals, providing new pets, and it's a great model to follow for cities. Cities should also be providing free internet access, too, for gosh sakes. Only $2 million, I'm told, and the city could have free internet access for everybody in their homes in Dearborn. What are you paying now, $30 to $50 a month or more? Your city could do it one time, one fell swoop, $2 million, little money each year. Wouldn't that be better? I asked all the all the mayoral candidates about it. They said, well, I'll have to look into that. I don't know. Ooh, too radical? That we want to save everybody money? Oh, we'd be competing with these other cable. Shrinking violets. Get out there and do something for the public. Not just shoveling 1 inch of snow for us so we all get stuck at the end of our drive. Oh, my gosh. Wake up and do something. And I agree with Frank, and this is just the final note before I have to close up the show here. What stores and shops do you think would you be part of in East and West Dearborn? I do believe they have to have apartments and condos mixed right in among it. They have to make it. It can't be a shopping mall. It can't be a shopping strip. It has to be shops and stores right along with places where people live. It has to be that. Okay? Toronto has used that pattern in downtown Toronto. Chicago used that pattern in certain areas. They're mainly just rich areas of downtown Chicago. That organic whole is what will work. And people will shop there every day. They'll get fresh bread every day from the bakery shop because they live right next door to it. And it's not separate up on a shopping mall. They got to take their car. They can walk there. And people will walk there from quite a while, quite a ways, too, if it's fresh and good and new. So I've got a short list of the kinds of businesses that should go there. Do you have a short list? Can you put one together that would make you go there every day? Oh, and paid parking. I'm sorry. Get it the heck out of there. Sorry. That's no fun. No. Next thing, they'll be charging to park in front of your house. You know, just not the way. You know, where doesn't our community development planners, don't they understand these things? What are they paying some high-priced consultants from Hong Kong or something? Don't they understand the organic principle of cities? Can't we bring that about? Sure we can. Sure we can. But you got to talk to your elected representatives, or you got to vote for better candidates in order to get these things turned around. Well, thank you, Frank Bewick. I mean, I was thinking about it, too. I think we ought to have a citizen task force to sit down with the mayor, and we'll come up with a list of the businesses, and we'll tell the city what to do. If the mayor and the other officers can't figure it out for themselves, well, the city shouldn't be involved in running a movie theater. Why not? If it's going to revitalize life in that district. Sure, you can't believe how successful that the State Theater is in downtown Traverse City right now. And apartments, condos, Front Street, and State Street, which are two downtown streets, the core of this redevelopment downtown Traverse City, it is now called in Michigan the best place for seniors to live because everything is walkable and you've got your entertainment, you've got your shops. It's a life, an urban life, where you don't even need a car every day. Okay, it's a little cold in Traverse City. All right, a little cold. But different movies every night at the theater. Big movies. There Will Be Blood is running there right now. Nominated for the best movie. Every night, they or every couple days, they change. You want to go to that movie theater several times a week because of the way it's programmed. Doesn't have to be programmed. Well, it keeps the same boring Hollywood movie in there for 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, well, no, that's not Michael Moore's idea. And thank you for contributing to Traverse City. I guess he couldn't contribute to downtown Flint. I guess that's hopeless. I hope Dearborn doesn't become that way. Well, keep reading the local papers. Thank you, Press and Guide, for all of your work every week. All your reporters, all your staff, editors, publishers, thank you, Dearborn Times Herald, the Bewick family mostly, that are running the Times Herald, for all that you do and the opinions you express. I hope you as listeners will spend the time to do that. Oh, by the way, besides next week's show,